to encourage these believers in the church at Philippi, and then gives them this wonderful verse. This is a good verse to start out the year with. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Notice this. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Notice that last phrase, reaching forth unto those things which are before. And title is Important Things for 2016. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it tonight. Bless our time together. Give us clearness of heart and mind. Speak to all of us and draw us close to you. We praise you, Lord, again, for the one that was saved this morning in the morning service. We give you honor, Lord, praise for that. Pray you work in his life, the life of his family. And Lord, we pray that you'll work in our lives here tonight in this service. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So how can we set up priorities? How can we keep the important things, the important things? This morning, remind you, we talked about for this message, looking at the important things, two main areas of our lives. One is our relationship with God. I believe, is that the next slide, John? What is that? There we go. Two main areas. First is our relationship with God. That's where it's got to begin. Nothing else is going to work if you don't have a relationship with God right first. And then relationship with others. Our relationship with others. Now, under each of these two main areas, relationship with God, relationship with others, we're giving you a little list of how to keep those important things. What are the important things in our relationship with God? And we're going to pick up our list here in our relationship with God with the third thing. We gave you this morning, what did we give you this morning? First of all, confession of all sin. We just need to start right off and just get right with God in every area. If you got sin in your life, you get right with God about it. And then we talked about, not only that, but we talked about the important thing is the prayer altar. We need to get back to having that daily time of praying, that prayer altar in your personal life. That time and place where you go every day, let nothing come between you. We talked about the importance of the altar at the church in our services. This is a place to come and come before God, and God speaks to you at the services and so forth. So, confession of all sin, the prayer altar, and then letter C right here is the studying of Scripture in our relationship with God. How in the world are you going to keep your relationship right with God if you don't study His Word? I mean, the Bible is not just a book that you pick up to bring with you to church, is it? It is God's holy, inspired, infallible, immutable, indestructible. What else did I leave out, Scott? Inerrant, infallible, yeah. Word of God. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us how important that word is. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is invaluable to you in your life. It is amazing how many people who've been members of churches through the years can't tell you any more about the Bible than they could 5 years ago. That's a tragedy. It really is. We need to make the important thing this year. Say, God, help me to be a student of the Word of God. Help me study the Bible. We just don't want to read a couple verses every day and close it up and say, well, we'll see if we can get anything out of that. No, get in God's Word. So that's when we have Sunday school. Boy, I tell you what, if you don't come to Sunday school, you're missing blessing this church. Amen. You're missing the blessing. You got godly teachers who prepare week. They teach God's Word and give you resources and helps and guidance and get in the book. That's why I have Wednesday night service, Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study. Man, we get in the book and we take notes and I give you outlines and stuff like that. Boy, we study the Word of God. And I mean, that's why we have it. That's why we have Awana. I mean, Awana is all about, what's your key verse? 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It is all about studying the Scripture. So this year, Find a portion of Scripture. Maybe something you're studying in Sunday school. Maybe it's something we're studying on Wednesday night. Get in the Word of God and be a student of God's Word. By the way, you'll get more out of God's Word than you will Facebook. I promise you. You'll get more out of God's Word than you would any other social media site where you Snapchat and chit-chat and whatever else you do. on those all those things. I've lost track of all of it. I'll tell you what's true. Some of them you just do pictures. Some of them you do words. Some of them you do signals. I don't know what you do with them anymore. I'm not sure. I can't keep up with all of them. My goodness. And I think if we properly use all that, we could do a great outreach for the Lord and reach people. I think it's great. I just don't have time to get on all of it, I tell you. But if we take the Word of God and apply it and use it and study it and allow God just to speak to us, it's amazing what God will do for you this year. I mean, by the way, you need to bring your Bible to church too. I can't believe some people don't bring Bible to church. That'll help you. That'll help you. I'm old-fashioned. I'm old-school. I know some of you like to read on electronic, and that's fine. If you got a Kindle or your iPad and your iWhat I don't know what you're going. Any of those things. You got electronic. I've got electronic version of the Bible on my phone, and I keep it there just in case I find myself and I need it and I can't get to my. But when I come to, I got to have leather and paper. You know, I got to turn pages. I got to write notes, and I'm just old school. That's all right. Just forgive me. Just look over this old fella. That's all right. I'll get pie. You know, I'll catch up with some of the electronic stuff maybe sometime. But if you use electronic version, that's fine. But get your Bible, get in the Word of God, and become a student of the Bible, and let that be an important thing for you here in 2016. Now the last one in this section. In your relationship with God, not only become a studying of Scripture, make that an important thing, but notice number letter D. Obedience to the will of God. You know, some things should go without saying. Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll obey my word. And if you're going to be my disciple, you'll obey what I have to say. Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 12. And in verse 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and notice this, and perfect will of God. In order to make our relationship with God important this year, we have to be obedient to the will of God. Now, it's amazing how we can mess this subject up. I mean, there are guys who've written books, and by the time you get through reading the book, you ain't got a clue what he's talking about. Am I right, Brother Mike? I mean, that's just, I've heard people talk about the will of God, and by the time you get through it, you think it's some kind of voodoo trick, you know, and that's the way they're written. No, that's not what the Bible says. God's not hiding his will from you. God is not playing hide and seek with you regarding his will. His will is revealed through his word. It's revealed through the Holy Spirit working in your life. And God wants you to do the will of God. He wants you to be obedient to his commandments, be obedient to his principles, to the teachings of his word. And there are things in our lives that come across and we're sitting there going, what does God want me to do? Well, what you need to do is be doing what God's already told you to do, what you already know you're supposed to be doing. Get right with God in those areas, and then God can lead you to the next thing. Don't be sitting around and not tithing, not reading your Bible, not praying, not going to church, not fellowshipping with believers, and sit there and say, well, I'm praying for God's will in my life. Well, God's already revealed you so many other things you're supposed to be doing. You're not even doing those. How's God going to reveal anything else to you? Get busy being obedient to God in every area that you know about in your life. And as you're doing that, God will reveal something else to you. And God will lead you and guide you and direct you. I think more about it. Many people talk about the will of God like it's some kind of special place. Like we're going to go to a place where the will of God is. No, the will of God is not about a place. It's about an activity. It's about being obedient. It's about following God in every area of your life. So just like the first point of this whole section we talked about this morning, confession of all sin. If you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you can't do the rest of this stuff. You can't go to the altar and pray. You can't be a student of Scripture and keep on doing that, harboring unconfessed sin in your life. You got to get that right first. And once you get all that right, once you get on the prayer altar, and once you're in the student of the Scripture, God can begin to lead you in your life. God's got great and mighty things in store for every one of you, not just you young people. I believe for all of us not so young people, I believe God's got some great mighty things for all of us. I believe God's got great things for our church. I believe he's got great things for our community. I believe he's got great things for our family. And I believe what he desires more than anything is for us to be obedient to the will of God for our lives and to get busy doing what God has for us to do. So in this first area of our relationship with God, these are important things we've got to remember. Obedience to the will of God. Listen, let me tell you something. There'll be times when God will lead you, and you know God's leading you, and nobody else may know it. Nobody else may recognize it. Nobody else may see it like you do. But when the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, when the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and directs you in some area of your life, buddy, you better get busy and get doing it, because you'll be one miserable person if you don't. Obedience to the will of God. Notice the secondary. Let's finish up the secondary and talk about our relationship with others. Now, what did we already talk about in this one? Our relationship with others. We talked about forgiveness this morning. That was the first point. Forgiveness. And we got to be right with each other. We got to grant forgiveness. We got to be forgiving. We got to ask for forgiveness. We also talked about sharing the gospel. We got to be about sharing our faith. We talked about that as we concluded the sermon this morning and sharing the gospel. So letter C in our relationship with others. If we're willing to forgive, if we're willing to share the gospel, then the third thing, letter C, is the important thing for 2016 is let us invest into the lives of others. Some people use the word, I believe, mentoring. Mentoring. We know what that means. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 2, he says, "The things which thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now notice the progression of that verse. He says, "The things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." I see four generations right there, Brother Mike. I see Paul, I see Timothy, I see faithful men, and I see others also. Imagine what the next generation would look like in this church if all of us would make a commitment to invest into the lives of others. Think about that. There are some of you, and I'm one, that grew up in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, teaching church with a pastor and deacons and teachers and Awanas and Sunday school and youth and who invested their lives into me. I would not be here today without them. Whole long list I could give you of names. Names you don't even know. But think about you. Some of you in this church have grown up in this church all or most of your lives. Some of you, your parents. Some of you, your grandparents were here. Now, some of, like me, who have come along in the last 15 years now, that have come along, some of us haven't grown up here, but we're beginning to grow here. Amen. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way it is? And then we've got others who've come along over the last several years, and you've gotten involved, and you've gotten... Listen, imagine what it would be like if all of us would invest into the lives of others, whether it be our Awana clubbers. Thank God for every Sunday night for what we do in Awana. And our young people. Do you know, Brother Mike, we got some people sitting over here who've been in Awana in the youth group now. They've been in since Cubbies. They've come through. They're all the way up here in the youth group now. Now some of them are out of the youth group. And they're up and they're growing. I got one sitting down here on the front row who's already a college graduate and a school teacher who grew up in this Awana program and came all the way through it. And everything else. And she's a school teacher now. And thank God for that. So when you talk about investing in the lives of others, what a great example this is. What a great example this is. But can I tell you something? Can I tell you something, young people? Awana clubbers, look at me. Teenagers, look at me. You can invest your lives in some of the older people who are out here too. You know what a blessing you are, some of you are, to some of the people in this church? Every time you come here, you give us a handshake or a high five or a hug. Some of you get a smile and you get a hug. Am I right, Miss Jessie? You get a thrill when these folks come over here and give you a hug, don't you? Now, she's told me many times how much she enjoys. And some of you other folks who are here, you adults. Listen, young people, you could be a great blessing and a great encouragement to some of these people who are not so young. Did I say that good? I love that. Yeah. See, I'm in that crowd, okay? So I want to make sure and say that right. Not so young. You can invest your life into them. They need encouraging from time to time. Your teachers, your Awana leaders, your Sunday school teachers, your deacons, your youth leaders, all of these, they need encouraging and blessing. And I tell you what, I get a thrill when you guys come out and say hey to me and give me a high five or give me a hug or something like that. Listen, we need to do that. We do invest ourselves. Listen, there are some people who wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for others investing their lives into them. And we need to do the same. We need to pass it on to the next generation. And we need to continue passing it on. So let's make that an important thing. Let's find ways. Get involved in Awana. Get involved in youth. You young people, get involved in church ministries and things that are going on around here. Just encourage and be a blessing and help. And you get involved by bringing soup. I mean, you know, you can just do all of this. Now notice the last thing. Relationship with others. And then the last thing. Here's a good one. Here's a big one. Be an encouragement. If you want to make a difference in 2016, if you want to be a blessing and a help, if you want to improve your relationship with others, then be an encouragement. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another." That means encourage one another, even as also you do. Be an encouragement. You know, too many times, and I know some people don't mean to do it. Now, there's some people who just, they don't know how to encourage if their life depended on it, I pray. You know, it's just some people. All they do is complain. They never encourage. They complain. It doesn't matter. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too loud. It's too soft. It's too long. It's too short. You know, whatever. You know, it's just that way. And just listen, let's make 2016 to be the year that we're going to be an encouragement. We're going to learn to encourage, not discourage. Being encouraged. Now, it may not go always the way you like it, okay? We all know that. We all can accept that. But look at this. What kind of church would we have if every one of us would make it our job to find somebody to be an encouragement to every time we walk through these doors? What kind of church would that be? I mean, just find somebody. And you say, well, I don't know them real well. Well, get to know. I mean, that's all right. Get to know them. Be an encouragement. Be a blessing. There was a guy in the life of the man that was named Saul of Tarsus. He'd gotten saved. And nobody really believed he got saved because he was always killing Christians. He was murdering Christians and putting them in jail. And the next thing you know, God gloriously saves him. And then he shows up at a church service and said, "Hey, I got saved," and they all scattered. You know, I mean, you know, that's just the way it was. And nobody believed him. And God sent along a guy by the name of Barnabas. Name means son of encouragement. To help him. Encourage him. And look what the Apostle Paul. Look at what the Apostle Paul became. Barnabas doesn't have a book in the Bible named after him, does he? Barnabas didn't write a single book in the Bible. But most of the New Testament was written by a man that Barnabas encouraged. You know, you can be an encouragement. There's a story in the Old Testament of Moses. They went out to battle, went to stand up on the hill. God said, when you hold up the rod, the battle will prevail in Israel's favor. So Moses go up top of the hill, and he held up the rod, and the battle began, and they were winning the battle. But his arms got tired. His arms got tired. And he let his arms down, holding the rod of God. When he let his arms down, the enemy prevailed. Israel was losing the battle. He'd raise his arms and Israel would prevail. Two men went up, stood beside Moses. One stood on the other side. You know what they did? Held his arms up. Held his arms up because he couldn't hold them up by himself. And Israel won the battle. Can I tell you something? You can't do it by yourself. You can't teach Awana by yourself. You can't teach a youth by yourself. You can't deacon by yourself. You can't lead that class by yourself. You can't sing by yourself. You can't lead that choir by yourself. You can't run that sound by yourself. By the way, I can't be the pastor by myself. I need somebody to help hold them up. I need somebody to come along on each side and be an encouragement, be a blessing, be a help. What kind of church would we be if just every week we found somebody just to encourage? I know you're busy when you come to church. You're getting kids ready. You're getting ready. You're trying to get here. You're trying to get your lesson, get your tithe written out. You run in here and try to get in here. Some of you get here late and everything, and you're trying. And then it's time to go, and you're in a hurry. You got to get out of here. And sometimes we just like that. I know because I stand at the front and the back. I see it. You know? And I went, whoa, where'd they go? But if we could just stop every week and just say, I want to be an encouragement to somebody. Maybe Jenny needs to be encouraged. Maybe Gary needs to be encouraged. Maybe Marlene needs to be encouraged. Whoever. Just find somebody. Just find somebody. And if you don't know how to be encouraged, join the Jesse Clardy Hug Club. Amen? Jesse, I love that. I just came up with that. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. The Jesse Clardy Hug Club. Isn't that great? Mike, make sure you stop and see her tonight before you leave, brother. I mean, to tell you, be an encouragement. Give me one last verse. Let's conclude it with this. Let's let this be our concluding verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. When you're talking about this year, the important things, keeping the important things, all the things we've mentioned. Remember this, Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Let's make this year about being all for the glory of God. Let's give it all, let's give it our best, let's put God first, let's be obedient, and all the things that we've learned, let's take these points, and my, I tell you what, I preach a whole series on all of these points, but just want to give them to you tonight as we start this year off and message this morning and ask God to help us. Would you stand with me, please? Jenny, if you come, Vicky, come. We have a song of invitation tonight. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Well, I surrender all. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight? I want to pray for you before we sing. We'll sing this invitation. If God's speaking to your heart, if you need to move, make a decision tonight, you come. Before we head out, before we start this, get going, we're already the second Sunday of the year. What is it that God's telling you to do? What area of your life do you need to be obedient to the will of God? What way could you invest in the lives of others? How could you be an encouragement? Oh, let us all be a student of the Scripture. Let's make this year about learning more about God's Word than we've ever learned. Here's how you do it. You surrender all to God. Give it all to Him. Your plans, your preferences, your ideas, all of those things, you turn it over to God and say, God, Your will be done, not mine. I surrender it to You. I give it to You. Let this song, let this be the last part of the message to speak to our hearts and draw it together. Father, bless Lord 2016. I don't know what You have in store for us. This may be the year that You return in clouds of glory and the rapture and call us all home. Maybe. It may be a year that where we see the greatest growth of our church. We see the greatest expanding of the ministries that go out from this place. Lord, it'll only happen if we surrender to You. Lord, I pray we'll all surrender everything to You tonight. And through this year, may it be a great and wonderful year. We'll see souls saved as we did this morning. We'll see lives changed and families restored and church built up and encouraged and reaching this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us keep the important things throughout this year. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Jeannie, we're going to sing what number is that song?
596.
596. All to Jesus I surrender. Come and lead us as we close our service.